At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Spyfall.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. It's October 10th, 2024. Happy 10-10 to the only 10 I... Oh, God, I can do this, can't I? TNA Impact was filmed in Nashville, Tennessee, and with me tonight is the only 10 I see. Welcome back to the chair, Cresta Starr.
It is I here to give you the Cardi B laugh of grappling. I missed you guys. I'm so excited. And the 10 I see is the Tennessee where TNA in my heart it be.
Oh, nice. We're doing that early and effectively and stuff. Listen, if you're already here, leave a thumbs up. If you haven't already, what's wrong with you? If you are listening in the audio realm, where's your 5 stars? Have you dropped them yet? Have you put them down? Do you want to put them down on us? Go ahead. It's free, I promise. Gets your ears plugged with more 5 stars for your friends to find more for us to give to you, because we have content every day on this channel, whether it's a post show or an interview or some sort of chatter. We're here on Fightful every day doing something. And if we're not on Fightful, then we're on Fightful Select. Best $5 in the business. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, of course, you can donate a super chat here. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. People have already started. Just Ricardo got us one saying, "Hi, Miss Cresta. Miss you. What's up, Joel? How goes it? Buddy, I'm good. I hope you're well. Cresta, you're back. How are you feeling, first and foremost?"
I am feeling a lot better. I needed this time to recharge. Grief is weird. Hug your fur babies. But I did miss you guys. I'm ready to be my crazy self and talk about men whose real name I don't know, pretend fighting for my enjoyment, and sometimes there's blood.
Some of those names are the same in and out of the ring.
Sometimes. Sometimes you're phenomenal.
That's actually not his real name.
I disagree. In my heart, it's still real and meat. Damn it. That's his name.
If he gets into the TNA Hall of Fame this year, I will say that's his real name. Me and Normus also sent us a super chat saying, "Cresta, welcome back. You look amazing. Joel, nice glasses."
That's crazy.
I know, right? Love you, me. Normus, can't believe that's what we got. Have a great show. Meat forever. Sometimes veggies. Sometimes veggies indeed. Listen, I love meat. I love me a good meat, whether it's a steak or chicken. But veggies, man, I do love me some veggies.
The only veggie I like is Bryan Danielson. Next question.
I mean, if he keeps wrestling the way that he does, sorry, that's too bad.
That's dark. He's a vegan. You about to call it beef jerky. You about to get beat up so bad.
He's a vegetarian. I found out that Serge Tankian is no longer a vegetarian either. He eats meat now.
I tried to be a vegetarian once, and then my mom took me to Outback Steakhouse. I'm broke. That wasn't fair.
Of all the places, that's what did it?
I mean, listen. Nope. TNA, what happened? There was going to be a joke there, but nope.
No, please. Enlighten the people.
I've put worser types of meat in my mouth. Next question. At least it was seasoned.
I'm just going to sit here for a second.
You asked for it, okay?
No, this is for your own good. We're just going to sit and stew in that reality for a minute.
Meat. Gout.
Cresta is absolutely down. How long will this last? Who knows? How long will we continue doing this? Who knows?
Till Sean kicks me off the air.
And he won't kick us off the air if you donate a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Cresta, give him the rundown.
You can go to humperchats.com. Yes, that's humperchats.com. Put any dollar amount in the little box. And in the comment section, you can type, "Hey, SRS, don't shut down TNA. Crest is unhinged," and we love it. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. I'm happy. Joel's happy. SRS is happy. Decepticons are happy. Humperchats.com. Do you want to be happy? That's not a threat. I love you.
You hear that, internet? Not only will Cresta beat you up, but we are the only ones who control whether or not this show finishes.
That's true. That's true. But also, beat you up for a fee of $5 to Fightful Select.
We'll do select later. There's enough going on this weekend. Okay, let's open up with Impact. Masha Slamovich, Jordan Grace, and Sol Ruka defeat the team of Winnie Chu, Rosemary, and Tasha Steelz. Listen, this is fine. This match happened. It had to happen. Jordan Grace hits the Juggernaut Driver on Tasha Steelz for the win. And the first thing is, what are we going to do about Tasha Steelz, man? Before we get to the other side of this whole coin, Tasha Steelz, I don't know what you've been following. I don't know how much you know about Tasha's involvement in all of this.
So I have 2% knowledge, and tell me where I'm wrong, because I think I have the gist of it, right? Alicia Edwards wasn't clear to wrestle. Tasha Steelz stepped in. Masha Lisa with Tasha Steelz lost the titles to Spitfire, and then Alicia Edwards and Tasha Steelz blamed Masha Slamovich, saying that you hit us with the rope-a-dope and it's your fault. And then Masha Slamovich speaks English. What did I miss?
Okay, so Tasha replaced Lish, and then they lost the tag titles, and here we are.
So I was right.
Yeah, you're good. Once again, I remind, like, I feel bad for Tasha Steelz. I don't know what it is. I want more for her, but I also, I don't know what is or isn't going on with, like, her creative and what she's up to and what her plans are. I don't know where that stands, but I'm just sitting here and I'm like, okay, she had the tag titles for a night and then she dropped them and now this has happened. It was almost like, we'll get her in, get her out, and that's it.
I was going to mute, but then you stopped talking, so I apologize for the cough in everyone's ear.
And I thought you had something to say before you coughed.
I do. I'm thinking that sometimes the knockouts division and the knockouts tag division can seem empty. And then when a lot of women come back, or you have like Rosemary, Wendy Chu, Ansel Ruka, and Tasha Steelz, it really makes me long for a TNA mid-card division for the women. It really makes me long for that, because someone, like you said, Tasha Steelz, what are we doing with her? And I feel like we've been saying that now for maybe close to 6 months, because she'll pop up here, pop up there, and then we don't see her. I think she's an amazing champion. She's an amazing talker, an amazing wrestler. It's a little hard to believe that we can't use Tasha Steelz in a championship way or in an Ace of Bay sort of way, because she has that same swagger. Give her someone that's like realistic and give her a real run with the titles. Her and Zaya Brookside is just something that comes to mind, because Tasha Steelz is an X Division player. She's so fast, she's so good, and she's precise. So I would love to see what we're doing with her, but if we have to do like a tag team, her and Zaya would be amazing. And I don't know, that's just me talking out loud.
That's fair. Listen, like I said, it's been a lot of stop and go with Tasha. I'm just curious about what we do, because she ate the pin and it seems like that's the end of that story, because Masha moves on now. Her and Jordan Grace have an argument at the end of the match as to who was in control and like who should have finished the match, blah, blah, blah. And Sol Ruka kind of puts a stop to it. The NXT influence here was really just having two bodies on either side representing their, you know, their teams on the babyface and heel dynamic. It was fine. Sol Ruka, again, a lot of these women who are coming in because WWE has some sort of vested interest in them and they want them to get those extra reps on TV where they're maybe not currently getting it on NXT TV or on Level Up, which is their like opener developmental program that they run. This is, you know, totally harmless. If you don't see that WWE has a very big interest in Sol Ruka, I don't know what to tell you. She is very popular and she's very good and she's taken to this very quickly.
She's so good and athletic, and I was watching her wrestle, and I was a fan of her before in NXT, but watching her wrestle in TNA, I'm like, oh, she'd fit in right here. She'd fit in perfectly right here. Her style is so, like, again, X Division driven in the sense of, like, she's athletic, she's tall, so it'd be like, what the hell are you doing in the X Division? But the moment she wrestles, you're like, I see why you're in the X Division. She's really, really good. The athleticism on Sol Ruka is crazy. And her finisher, the Soul Snatcher, that snap one she caught out of nowhere. Ugh, this girl, she's going to be something. If not in the next 2 years, I say at most three, at the very most. Sol Ruka is definitely going to be something. That girl is athletic beyond.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity with her. And one thing about tonight's TNA Impact show was the knockouts really did kind of run through the entirety of the show. And we'll pick up these threads kind of as the show goes through, because this wasn't the only interaction between Masha and Jordynne Grace or some sort of storytelling with it. And again, this was one of the issues that TNA ran into when they couldn't run Spartanburg because of Hurricane Helene. They had to pivot quickly, and they went to Skyway Studios in Nashville. They taped really what is 3 weeks of content. I argue they could have done four, but that's not up to me. It's not my problem. Anyway, point is, there was a natural disaster, and that does suck. And I'm happy that those I'm happy that people are safe. I'm happy that people are okay, and that they were able to do what they were able to do for 3 weeks of taping. It was just very funny to me, because someone asked me, they were like, "Do you think TNA could turn out an episode on 24-hour, on 24 hours?" And I'm like, "Yeah, especially at Skyway, because they're in a friggin' studio. They're in a proper, like, controlled TV studio environment where they can record and put it out, and it'll be good." And then they ran a Best of Bound for Glory last week. It is what it is. It's a double-edged sword. I get
it. Yeah, I don't think no matter what you would have done in that situation, if you're TNA, people are like, "Well, why are you running a show?" Well, why didn't you run a show?
Again, I'm happy they were able to get him. Happy everyone was safe and they made the travel and made it in. The wrestlers are happy with what they were able to do on the time that they had. It was funny to me that they did the tapings on a Wednesday and Thursday, and they didn't do a quick turnaround. It just happened that way.
This is a production thing. I'm like, I understand. Or maybe I don't. I'm just smiling and nodding. It happens. Sometimes I'm dumb.
Yeah, so I think it's dumb. It's a production thing. Will Chisholm sends a super chat saying Sol Ruka felt like she was next in line till Stephanie Vaquera, Julia, and Delta showed up. Now she might be North American title bound. This isn't an NXT post show, but because they do get involved with TNA right now, I don't mind that. I think Sol Ruka, Sol Ruka has been in the North American Championship, division, and she shines there too. I think a lot of these women, I think you're going to find out that Stephanie Backward, Julia, and to a lesser extent, Delta, I think the first two, there's a lot of planning for them. Delta's being packaged as a big deal. I don't think people really understand. Delta's only been wrestling for like 3 years. She has not been around very long. So there will be some growing pains and some development that goes into that. But Sol Ruka is still very much earmarked as a major contender in the NXT world.
I'll even take it one step further that a lot of people were complaining, why should Stephanie Vaquera and Julia even go to NXT? So someone like Sol Ruka, I see Sol Ruka in the same spot that Rhea Ripley was in for a while, when a lot of people moved up from NXT and there was a void at the top or upper echelon. Someone like her will be fine for when Roxanne Perez moves up. And Kalani Jordynne will be fine for when a Julia moves up. So I think Sol Ruka right now isn't. I don't want to say she's not ready, because I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a person who talks crap and sits on their hands. You know what I mean? But like, if I'm looking at wrestling from a trajectory standpoint, there's absolutely room for you to come out and learn that NXT, TNA system, then go on to be the North American champion, heading into the NXT Women's Champion. There's definitely space for them. And it's a very exciting time, I think, for women's wrestling in particular with this NXT TNA, because the Knockouts division is lauded as the best women's wrestling NA, period. Argue with your mama about it. So this is great. This is great lore for her. I think Sol Ruka will be fantastic. She's going to be fine. She'll be fine. Don't worry about it. North American is going to have a problem when she gets a hold of it.
Also, again, not every wrestler needs to hold a title to prove that they are worthy of...
Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry is a pretty good example of that, for sure. There have been wrestlers, in NXT especially, who never won a championship and still went up to main roster and did okay. Moving on, Gia Miller's backstage with Josh Alexander and Sinner and Saint. The group's now called the Northern Armory, which... Okay.
You're going to hear from Ethan Page's lawyer. That's all I could think of. You'll be hearing from my lawyer.
I don't know. I just think it's more likely to see Ethan Page shake Josh Alexander's hand for this. They said if Macklin and Eric Young had minded their own business, this wouldn't be happening. And then Alexander calls Macklin and EY the past, Sinner and Saint are the future. This is a good promo. Listen, when they when they started the Josh Alexander Sinner and Saint tease that led to the official turnaround partnership, whatever, last week, I was all in on this. I like Sinner and Saint had some pitches before they, as they were signed. And this is one of the ones that makes the most sense. They're working with the guy in TNA, one of the top guys, and it's Canadian, and it's someone that they know and have worked with. It's really good. I'm a fan of it. I'm curious as to your feelings.
Oh, I don't hate it. Josh Alexander, I'm sorry. Josh Alexander could do no wrong for me. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry. He could slap Tom Hannafin. I'm like, wow, why would you do that, Tom Hannafin? What'd you do to get slapped? Like, I like, almost called them Pure Fusion Collective. They could be named Pure Fusion Collective, and I would like it. Josh Alexander and Sinner and Saint could do no wrong. What I am waiting for is Sinner and Saint to beat up Good.
Come on, man. let me have my boys. They've already massacred them tonight.
Look what they've done to my boys. But no, like, honestly, from the first time I saw Sinner and Saint till now, these boys look like they've been through hell hanging out with Josh Alexander. It's just curious to me, and maybe I've missed something, that Josh Alexander would say that Eric Young is the past. But isn't this violent by design? Aren't you copying this? Let me not talk too much.
I think it's more the idea that Eric Young's been around since the inception of TNA.
But were you Josh Alexander? I remember those promos.
No.
I say that, he was one of those guys, like, I used to come to TNA all the time. I wanted to wrestle here. This brilliant. So you were a fan of Eric Young.
He was a fan of the original TNA. He was a fan of the original Team Canada. He's a heel now. He hates everyone.
He's a heel now. No, that's fair.
He's a heel now. It's different. Totally different.
That's honestly the best explanation. He's a heel now. It's just different. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry.
That's the Matt Raywalt way of explaining it.
And he learned that from Don Callis School of Facts. I don't got to explain shit. He's a heel now.
But in actuality, EY has been around for the entirety of TNA. Mm-hmm. Josh was a fan. So the way that he can further explain it is, you've been around since the beginning. That doesn't mean I always liked you since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I always liked TNA, and I came to TNA because I wanted to show that it can be better than Eric Young. It can be better than Steve Maclin. It can be better than the sum of what you had it as into the 2000s. That is easily what the Josh Alexander character can be saying. And he kind of is to a certain degree. And you also have to understand that, you know, Josh Alexander has not been in TNA as long as Eric Young has.
I mean, you could even say it from the inverse. It's like, well, yeah, Eric Young could be like, bro, I already did this. I know how this is going to shake out. You're going to get murdered. Like, all right, I already know how this is going to shake out for you. You know what? You're going to get murdered by the bald one. Don't do it.
Just here to shank people.
Honestly, I know it. I feel like this was a quote from somebody, and I can't think of what wrestler said this. Talk about, remember old days back when wrestlers didn't play video games or something like that? But yeah, go wrestle for TNA. What are you talking about?
You know who that wrestler was?
I feel like you're going to say something out. I feel like it was The Undertaker. I feel like
you got it. That's
right. I was going to say something outlandish like The Undertaker.
We used to have guns back in the locker room. And when we had a problem, we play quarters with our guns.
And that's not funny. Because he was dead ass about it. But that's kind of like, if he was saying that, and just like, yo, this guy's crazy.
I think he's just looking for a hot take. Nick Nemeth cuts a promo. You want to talk about hot takes? He's not doing it for me right now. He's just, I don't love the babyface champion who loves being here. Especially this version of Nick Nemeth doesn't do it for me. It's cheesy. The first word of my notes is cheesy, period.
You put cheddar, mozzarella.
It's not good tech. It's not even Tex-Mex. It's just, it's not even queso.
Velveeta.
It's Velveeta. It's just, it's cheesy. Joe Hendry comes out. He puts over Nick Nemeth and says there's no memes or music videos this time. He's put in the work, and this is good. I like that Joe Hendry is doing this seriously, that he knows the importance of the world championship match at the biggest TNA show of the year. I like that the emphasis is there. Nemeth brings up, you know, Shawn Michaels believes in Joe Hendry. And this is, again, this is what I love. Joe Hendry turns the tables and says, what about John Layfield? What about JBL? He's been around. What's he going to do when he sees you at Bound for Glory? And Nemeth kind of talks his way around it. Because again, I think Nick Nemeth is turning heel at Bound for Glory.
I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, absolutely.
And he says he'll steal the show. Yay. And then First Class comes out, call themselves the main event. This is really fun. Again, I like AJ Francis. I love Casey Navarro. I love that they've found something in that tag team. I think it's much better than anything they've had before. AJ says he made Joe Hendry, which AJ Francis said that to me at Slammiversary. And he was like, I hope Joe Hendry wins the title so that I can turn around and I can get a title shot because I made Joe Hendry. That's the kind of shit that I wanted. So him being attached to Joe Hendry throughout this entirety is good. And then they make the main event. Santino does Nemeth and Hendry versus First Class. Fist Clash, whatever he called it.
I put...
Fish Cast?
What was it? Where did I type it or wrote it? It doesn't matter. Fist Clash. Sometimes Santino gives me a headache and I know I'm dyslexic, but...
Jesus Christ. Tonight would be the bad... Best night for you to have a migraine from him.
Okay, so breaking down this promo, I want to hit the first thing that you said about the JBL. Because it is, when this man said, I'm not answering that question, and then moved on, I was like, oh, you turning on him, because it's babyface versus babyface. I'm kind of into it, fight with honor. I was going to ask what happened with JBL, but they answered my own question. Nemeth, you're turning heel, not mad at it. Also not mad at Joe Hendry not winning. Makes sense. You drag it out. You get JBL, you drag it out for maybe one more thing, and then you have Joe Hendry win it, or maybe two more things, because that seems to be the formula going forward. Not mad at it. First Class coming out. Listen, whether you hate AJ Francis or you love AJ Francis, you cannot deny that him and Casey Navarro are doing the damn thing. They are being instigators. They're being annoying. And that's exactly what you need to cut this type of tension with a knife. I'm not going to answer your question about JBL, because here comes AJ Francis to do the most with the least. He's perfect. And Casey Navarro being like, yeah, you ain't win. You lost is 10 out of 10. I think they're exactly what they need to be. I can't wait for Nick Nemeth to turn on Joe Hendry. And I don't know how that's going to work. Because I think y'all should have been put the belt on Joe Hendry. Understand why you didn't. But I don't know how that's going to work, how you're going to squeeze every penny out of this. But I'm sports intrigued.
So this is the fun thing about the JBL story, I guess, or appearances. Mm-hmm. Everywhere JBL has shown up, he has been the heel, except for TNA. he helped Nemeth retain against the system, against Moose, when he beat up the system. Every time he's shown up, it's always been as Nemeth's friend. But in MLW, he's a heel. In GCW, he's a heel. Everywhere JBL has shown up, he's a heel. When he shows up at Destiny Wrestling in Toronto, he's going to be a heel. People are going to boo him. It's going to happen again. Because JBL just... He's not going to go through this whole thing and be like, oh yeah, no, TNA is the only place where you'll see me and cheer me. Like Triple A, you can say that he did it there because he was a babyface there because he seconded Nemeth to the ring. But like, it's Triple A. Like, well, let's just leave it at that. Jables comes in. He's going to be the reason that Nick Nemeth turns. That's easy to say. And Hendry probably, I don't think he's going to win the title, but we'll see what happens next week. It feels like Joe Hendry's not winning the TNA title.
And that's okay. Because in the confines of this story, that's fine. You have a major plot twist for Nick Nemeth with it. JBL with it. If Nick Nemeth wants to stay in TNA after that, fine. You have a program already built in for Joe Hendry when he does go over on Nick Nemeth. Because I don't think it'll happen at Bound for Glory. But I think it might happen at the next one or the one after that. Again, I think that Ye should have been put the title on Hendry, but with what we have, it would make sense for you him to lose at Bound for Glory, cheating the fariousness, and then the next pay-per-view. Slammiversary already happened, so that won't be until next year. I wouldn't drag it to Slammiversary.
No, it'd be hard to kill in January.
Oh, yeah. It's about to be November.
Well, don't forget. So there is final resolution at the end of November. That's in Winston-Salem. That's actually with WrestleCade. So that's actually a fun possible title change opportunity in front of like hardcore wrestling fans, assuming that they have those, like those fans really show up in droves. And then the other one is Final Resolution, and that's in Atlanta at middle of December. I don't think that's the time to do it. Final Resolution last year, I went there and it was right before the rebrand. It was more about what's going to happen when TNA comes back. But this time around, if they're going to do it, I'd be curious. We'll put it like this. If we get to the end of Bound for Glory and they either haven't put the title on Joe Hendry or they haven't announced where Hard to Kill is going to be, then we'll have a better answer.
Okay.
Because if AO's saying, if Hard to Kill's in the UK, I don't know and I haven't been told and I haven't, like, honestly, I haven't been asking. But if it turns out that Hard to Kill is going to be somewhere that's big, not that Detroit isn't, because Bound for Glory is a big show and it's going to sell out, mm-hmm. and have a big crowd. If they have something bigger planned and they think that they're going to sell out based on that, then you can crown Hendry there. But also, you can't keep honey dicking fans on Joe Hendry. You can't. Is it the terminology? Is that what did it? Good.
I was coughing and burping and when you said, I was like, oh Lord Jesus. I'm not mad at it. No, but I agree with that. You have to do something with Hendry. Because at some point, people are going to be like, you know what? Maybe you should go to the Federation. I thought I'd never say it, but maybe you should. Maybe you should. And I think that at least TNA should do right by him and make him champ. No, he was world champion and he lost to somebody.
Am I bugging? Talking about?
Joe Hendry.
Has Joe Hendry ever been world champion? Not
he was the digital media.
Yeah, champion. That's all he's done is the digital media champion. Could you imagine? Yeah. Could you imagine if they bring this all the way to Hard to Kill and JBL is there and Joe Hendry is there and Nick Nemeth is there? You know who corners Joe Hendry? Could you imagine they get Shawn Michaels? Not even to corner Hendry, but because they mentioned him tonight, have him come out and basically super kick JBL and just de-neutralize this whole thing.
I have to tell you, I don't care if you're memeing or you meant that seriously. I love that fucking idea. At first, I was like, insane. And then I was like, hold on.
He said he believes. He has said it a million times. They brought it up tonight. If this were WWE, where they typically let you, you know, they don't bring it up and they didn't have a reason. That's Wrestling 101. I don't know if TNA is going to follow the same idea, but maybe even as early. I don't know. I'm putting it out there. You mentioned the guy's name. Maybe that's just, you know, the former Dolph Ziggler trying to be inside because that's what Dolph does. But what if? What if you can have Michaels come and just deliver one old super kick? I see the kitty cats are all about it.
Yeah, Johnny has a lot to say about this idea. She's like, this is fantastic. Joe Hendry, this is great. Honestly, I wouldn't hate it because I think of how NXT has been funneling their talent. TNA started off hot. You had champion, hottest person. And NXT has been okay. It would make sense if you're going up the ladder if what you're sending over talent. Not to say I like Tatum Paxley. So let me clear the air here. I like Tatum Paxley. I like not Nathan Frazier. Who the hell is Nathan Frazier? No, he is part of No Quarter Catch Crew.
Nathan Frazier is one of the tag team champions with Axiom.
I don't watch NXT. I don't watch NXT. The point I'm trying to make is nobody there is you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, like, if you're bringing over like your stars, they're not bringing over no Trick Williams at first. They're going to bring over Tatum Paxley. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to build up. So we got Sol Ruka now. Ain't nothing stopping. Well, Roxanne Perez is busy at the moment, but you get what I'm saying? We building up, and Shawn Michaels is the pinnacle. Mr. HBK himself,
Stop that.
I'm sorry. I thought I was going to clip that.
It's weird. I was going to clip that.
Joel said, enough. Cease. The gimmick is dead.
I learned one thing when our good friend Emily May Heller came to Toronto for Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and a bunch of us went and did one of our shows live in a library that had a green screen behind us. And she sat down and the first thing she said was, do you have something on the green screen? And we're like, no. She's like, put something on the green screen or else somebody else will. They will edit something in. And I was like, I never really thought about that because we're just a bunch of white bearded guys and on the internet. She's like, yeah, well, I'm not. And I know what men can do. And I'm like, that's a valid point. So here I am telling you, don't do that. White bearded men are weird. Okay.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Man, I hate it here.
Come from a white bearded man myself. The only thing about the TNA and WWE/NXT talent exchange is that, yeah, it's been very much NXT sends the people that they want to have focus on or give them reps. They send those people, and then TNA has an opportunity to have their top talent looked at in a WWE ring.
So, one hand washes the other.
No, if one hand was tiny and the other hand was like five times
come
bigger.
Here, let me wash you, tiny hand.
I'm tired of people making fun of my giant hand. First such instance happened in 19. If you get that joke, thank you. Thank you. We're way off the wreck. So let's just come back. Reckless
because
elegance.
You want to beat the 2 hours.
No, I don't want that. I want to go to bed eventually. 5 a.m. I'm done. Reckless Elegance, I love that they're finally leaning into the comedy of Ash by Elegance. Got her out of the main event. Now it's fun. Now it's good. I'm all about it. Why did you smell Heather Reckless's socks, Ash by Elegance?
She knew what she was doing.
She knew. she knows. There's a gif out there somewhere, and I'm sure people are reacting to it. They're going off to see Dr. Finkelstein, which I love because that's continuity, and that's my jam. This is cute. What do you think of Reckless Elegance coming to it?
My literal first note is not the feet for free.
Right?
Not the feet. I mean, I actually like this promo, and I've been giving Ash by Elegance a hard time. So I'm glad to see that we're finally doing something funny. I was here for it. It looks like Ash by Elegance is sticking around. So if we're going to do something, let's do something. I'm ready to give peace a chance. Come on, be funny. Makes with the jokes, clown.
Speaking of clowns, Josh Alexander defeats Eric.
Two Canadian clowns in a ring. Two bald Canadian clowns.
All right, the clowns ending. Well, maybe they're sad clowns. But Sinner and Singh come out to distract referee Daniel Spencer midway through the match. They had already been sent to the back. That plays into later, which I like. Daniel Spencer, who is the referee, is really good at getting distracted. Why are you distracted all the time, Daniel? What is it about you?
Listen, you could get shot. You could get shot in TNA, so you got to have your head on a swivel.
You got Frank Gastineau gets wrecked, taken out of every match. You got Daniel Spencer who gets distracted every single match.
I'd rather be distracted than getting wrecked.
Paige Prince of Ollie's the only one with any sort of like comes out and is like, that's not what happened. Like, you restart the match. They screwed up. She's the only one with any sort of like ethics here. She should be the new senior referee. That's what I'm on that train now.
I respect it. She doesn't get bamboozled. She doesn't get bamboozled.
Not at all. She's a very strong, independent woman. She don't need no man. Anyway. Eric Young. He might goes for the elbow, gets crotched by Sinner and Saint. He still hits the elbow, and Sinner and Saint get involved again. Icarus doesn't wear any shoes. That's my big takeaway from this. Travis Williams hits a Claymore kick looking thing on EY for Alexander to get a jackknife pin on Eric Young. Really, what matters is after the match. Eric Young immediately goes after Josh Alexander, the Northern Armory, Sinner and Saint. They take him out, and everyone's like, where's Macklin? Where's Macklin? And then they go to the back, and Macklin's been laid out, and you can assume that it was done earlier by Sinner and Saint when at the beginning of the match, Josh Alexander sent them to the back. So it was premeditated. I like this. This was smart. Josh wraps a chair around EY's leg, stomps on it. So that's going to incapacitate EY for, I don't know, the next 2 weeks or something like that. And this is fun. This is a good angle. I like that EY and Macklin are now officially a thing. And Alexander gets his cronies to work with. What do you think of all this stuff?
Not all the Canadians fighting. Oh my God.
Plus the U.S. Army veteran. Just
Macklin, like, I don't want to be no stinking tag team. And every time I turn around, I'm in a stinking tag team. I want to be my old man. I have to highlight on commentary because I have TNA Plus, which honestly, for commentary during the picture in picture, Ray Walt tells Hannafin, if they're his attack dogs, why did they go to the back, huh, Tom? To which Tom responds, at least they're obedient. I could hear the sigh from Ray Wall. Mike was muted, but I could just hear him going like, yo, I hate you, bro. That was 10 out of 10 in its own. These guys pilmanizing Eric Young's knee. If it wasn't Eric Young, I would think that was effective. I saw Eric Young get shanked and come back like it was nothing. Like, you can't kill him. You can't take him out. That guy is impervious to damage. So like you said, 2 weeks at best. He comes back at Battle for Glory to Metal. Like, he's fine. He's totally fine. I don't know what we do here because you're going to need a third person to deal with the Northern Armory, which is a really good name. And again, Josh Alexander could slap someone. I'd be like, I don't. What did you do? Deserve to get slapped? I don't know.
I don't know who that third person is. I would like it to be Mike Santana, but Santana's in the middle of something himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect it to be, at least at Bound for Glory, I don't expect it to be him. I also don't know if Alexander is going to, I mean, maybe he has a one-on-one match with Macklin. Don't hate that. We've done this before. So you got to have some sort of stakes to it.
I mean, old boy's going to cheat unless they keep the people in the back, which I don't see happening so early in the game since they just announced themselves as a staple, unless they meddle every week until Bound for Glory, if that's going to be it. Is it a Bound for Glory match?
Is it a Bound for Glory match?
Is it a post-Bound for Glory match to keep the ball rolling?
Again, you've got five men right now. Presumably there will be a sixth. EY and Macklin will add somebody. We don't know who it is, but when they get there, it'll play into everything else. Maybe it's Speedball after the X Division title match at Bound for Glory. I don't know if it's a six-man at Bound for Glory. We're going to see.
We'll see. We will see what's about to transpire.
Gia Miller's backstage with Jordan Grace. Jordan's looking for Masha. She comes back. The kill wall is back. Dun, dun, dun. Gia Miller's very scared.
I literally wrote, oh, so they found Masha's old gimmick, I see.
My note says she's back to being a murderous rampager. Let's go.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, honestly, I didn't hate Masha being kept away from the main event scene, but I feel like we lost the plot and we're getting back to it. So yes, meat slapping meat.
they got there. It's just it felt a little clunky from the I speak English to now we're gonna put you in a title match. Like it was like they turned Masha and then they turned her again based on this. And it was very
system cool. Works.
I mean, listen, to make the same thing, you know, WWE just did this with Braun Breaker, right? He loses the Intercontinental Championship to Jey Uso, comes out the next week and says, yeah, you're the better man. You won, shook his hand, and then waited an entire week until he speared Jey Uso. So
Sometimes you got to delay the asshole. You can't have it come on full first. That sounded horrible in my mind.
No, no, that was great.
I'm full of sound bites tonight.
That's right. Don't worry. There aren't enough people listening to the show to make a problem out of it. Santana comes out. My favorite part about Mike Santana's entrance is that he comes in through the crowd when he does this. When you're in a studio setting, there are only so many places from which you can enter. So Santana has to come out from not the main entrance, but like the other end of the stage. Mm-hmm. I just love it. They're doing their best. He calls out Moose. Moose comes out and he's got security question mark. Bunch of local guys. They made it very obvious. Basically, they say they can beat each other up. And then Moose is like, I ain't going to do it for free. I'm a prize fighter. You're just a poor kid from Puerto Rico, from the projects. You're a poor Puerto Rican kid from the projects. System comes in. They beat down Santana. Ace of Base make the save. Hardy's beat down the security. Santino comes out. He makes Santana versus Moose at Bound for Glory. And then says to Myers and Edwards, watch this match carefully. And he starts the next match. The next match is Ace of Base versus the Hardys. Nothing happens. System interferes. Santino says, here I am again. It's a triple threat tag team title. Full Metal Mayhem at Bound for Glory for the tag titles. Let's talk about all of this because it all just kind of together. They felt like they wanted to do this one in 2 weeks of storytelling, but then they lost a week. Let's talk about Santana Moose, at the middle of everything, and the triple threat tag title, Full Metal Mayhem.
I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to roll it off the... And da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm kidding. Okay, so not mad at Mike Santana telling Moose, I get why you're afraid of me. You're afraid of me because I am what you were. I came from the mud. You came from the mud. We made a way out of no way. And now look at you forgetting who you are, but I still walk in the mud. And Moose was like, I absolutely forgot who I was. Why the fuck would I walk in the mud? That don't make no sense. I got rich. I would not go live in the hood. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. So I like the reasoning here. I like Moose telling Santana, it doesn't matter if we were the same. We're not the same now. And that's why I'm champion, or I was champion, the face of the franchise, and you're Mike Santana. The brawling was nice. The build of wrestling was nice. I'm not mad at it. The security, I hope they paid y'all. The match between the ABC and the Hardys, I actually thought that the Hardys and ABC had really good chemistry. I am a little upset at the finish, but knowing that they did lose a week, it makes sense. I could see them trying to build this up a little slower, but having the system run down and cause a DQ, man, Myers and Edwards still champion. I think that's an error, but you know, we'll do what we can. It's nice to see the Hardys, but like, damn, the Hardys about to eat a pin, huh? I mean, it is what it is. They've been around forever. So eating the pin is not going to hurt the Hardys. They're not going to hurt the Hardys.
The Hardys are probably going to win the tag titles at Bound for Glory.
Yo, if that happens, I would, you know what? I wouldn't even be mad at that. You're going to see me just send you a video.
Why do you want the system to retain? Or do you want them to bounce back to Ace of Base after they just dropped the tag titles? It's going to be the Hardys, and it's going to be what it is.
Ace, not Austin. Chris Bay, the ultimate finesse, your girl's favorite wrestler. I'm a girl. That's my favorite wrestler. I will always root for Chris Bay. I don't care.
He rules. Listen, Ace of Base have a soft spot in my heart, too.
But you know what? You're right. The Hardys are going to win. Now that you said that, I'm like, oh, wait.
They sent the Hardys on a full-on press tour to promote the Spartanburg shows. It's all you need to know.
Yes, go be me.
Yeah, start learning to dance, Hardys, kids.
Paint my face.
They don't have to go long. They just have to hold it for a quarter. They just have to hold it until January, and then they can drop the titles in some other gimmick match, a ladder match. Who knows?
Ultimate deletion with Brother Nero. Yeah, delete.
Leon Slater defeats Laredo Kid and Jason Hotch. The winner faces Speedball Mike Bailey next week on Impact. Hotch comes out like this. Jason Hotch comes out and he says he can see the future. He's going to win tonight. He's going to face Speedball next week. He's going to become the X Division champion. And then Skyler's like, well, co-champs. And I was dying. These idiots. Well, Laredo Kid doesn't eat the pin, but if there's one thing that luchadors do in TNA, what do they do?
They lose, and I was surprised Laredo didn't eat the pin. Sorry about it.
Leon Slater wins with a Swanton 450 on Hotch. Next week, you'll find out Speedball's Bound for Glory opponent, and you might be mega surprised.
I'll be real with you. I have well, not two complaints. One, it was like, who's going to take the pin, Laredo Kid or Hotch? Because he's here. And that's going to be whoever the winner is, the other person. And we got our answer. Also, I love Speedball, but Speedball on commentary, that was a church mouse. That was a church mouse.
From my experiences chatting on and off camera with Speedball, that was right.
That was right.
That was right. There's something I wish I had written it down. Oh, when he was asked, who do you want to face? And he's like, the winner. And I was like, that is the most Speedball thing you could say. And it was perfect. And I'm like, I can envision that question coming from my mouth and him saying the exact same thing.
Bro, I definitely have that note when he said, I want to face the winner. I was like, now Speedball. I know you meant that for real, but be for real, Speedball. I want to face the winner. Nope, Speedball.
I need fans. I need people to understand. Speedball Mike Bailey is incredibly smart and incredibly in tune with wrestling, especially in 2024. He's very good at the wrestling. He's very good at the psychology and the understanding of wrestling. I have learned so many things from him in conversation. He's done a lot. When you put him on commentary, you realize he's very smart and he's very good at this, but he's also going to be very dry about it sometimes and just be like, it's not even dry. You know what? He's just going to be like absurdly matter of fact.
He's unintentionally funny.
Yes.
And I feel like if you don't like wrestling in a way where, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and you know that on to a lesser extent, this is not a character that he's being so fucking for real, it's not gonna be fun. Like, why is he so dry? Like, that's hilarious to me. Speedball literally say, I want to face the winner. It's like, if I'm Ray Walt trying to do my job, I'm looking at him like, so you ribbing me? Who? I don't want to laugh again, because the whole time, even when they say he's going to be on commentary, my first thought was to say what? I love Speedball. I love Speedball. But the three things he says, like, yo, you're not a serious person. I loved it because he ain't said shit. And maybe I liked it for the wrong reasons, but I'm dying because Ray Rawls trying to throw himself, and I can see Speedball like, shh, the match is going on.
I'm trying to watch the fight. It's like grandma being like, shh, trying to watch my stories.
Yeah, like, shut up, Ray Rawls, why are you talking? I have tears in my eyes.
So good. I wouldn't call it, someone in the chat saying he's Lance Storm was a flippy guy. It's not that though. That's the thing.
He's unintentionally funny because I think he's really like, this is what I do, but it's so funny because it's like, bro.
Unless feeling dreepy, that's who messaged. Unless you mean Lance Storm when he's doing stuff with like Wrestling Observer, because then he's Lance Storm and he's talking. If you're talking character Lance Storm when he was boring, it's not that. But if you're talking like Lance Storm when he speaks on like Observer, then yeah, actually, it's pretty much like Lance Storm on the Observer.
Like, I've seen, like, even when, like, as I frequent Speedball's Twitch, like, that's literally like.
You're not going to get a guy who like screams and overreacts. Like, if he was, he'd be an awful video game streamer. And like, I'm speaking to you, Cresto. Like, I know you. I know you get this. There's one Mario Maker streamer that I watch. There's two of them that like do not emote. They have their funny stuff and they cut it out. It's funny.
It's great.
You're not gonna get overreacting screaming, oh my god, this game sucks. No, you're gonna get like, oh man, I could have done this better on that run. I'm gonna do the speed run again and I'm gonna shave 0.2 seconds off of it because I'm gonna do this speed run tactic. And that's watching Speedball. You're watching the technical. You're not watching the banter. You're not watching the entertainer on the microphone.
Speedball to me is an advanced level comic because he don't know that he's being funny, but he's a great straight guy. So while Hannafin and Ray Walt were like, this, that, and the third, and Speedball's like, I just want to have the best division possible. Again, if I'm Ray Wall in particular, just looking at Speedball like, yo, bro, stop playing with me. Yes, feeling Dreepy is so serious that it's funny. That's exactly what it is. It's beyond to me. It's beyond the point of this guy is just spitting facts to not Speedball. Please, I'm begging you, please be for real. Because I know you're being for real, but I need you to be for real.
Just go watch. Just
it's good. It's great commentary for the three things he says.
That's great. Leon Slater and Speedball are going to have a fantastic match next week. I'm looking forward to it. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. I laughed way too hard at Speedball saying, I want to fight the winner. I'm like,
it felt like Hannafin wanted to jump and be like, what?
I quit this chicken shit gig.
He's probably like staring, just like white knuckling the table, trying not to laugh.
And mind you, this was after they said two segments before, I hope he wears shoes.
That's right. Earlier, they're like, he's better be wearing shoes. And I'm like, why is Judas Icarus not wearing shoes? What is this company? What are we doing?
No shoes and you getting bit.
TNA, pay your wrestlers enough to buy shoes.
Yo, TNA is the place to be. I don't know what you're talking about. Get shanked or else.
Can confirm. Speedball did wear shoes in our interview. Actually, he didn't wear them as much as he was wearing shoes when we did our interview. I think we took them off because we're Canadians. We take off our shoes when we get into people's houses. Jordan Grace cuts a promo. She comes out towards the end of the night, says Masha Slamovich calls her out. And then Grace says the kill wall's back. And I thought we agreed that we were past that. And Masha says, oh, well, I knew you would keep me close and that you knew about me speaking English. And I'm going to win the Knockouts title, and then Jordan, you'll be living under my shadow. Masha versus Jordan at Bound for Glory. One thing that I actually really like about this is if you know, like if you follow both of these women outside of TNA, they do a lot of content together. They do a lot, like their TikToks. They have a rapport. They have a relationship with each other. If they play into that, that's okay. But it's one of those, like, it's a bit of a wink and a nod, but it still makes sense because they have a history on TV as well. They've had fights. They've had big time matches. They alluded to the one that they had. I think it was Bound for Glory last year. They've had those moments. I love Masha versus Jordan. And I think this is finally Masha's moment.
I almost said something unmuted, but yes, no, I agree. I've been saying that if anyone's going to dethrone Jordan, it would be Masha, and it's definitely going to be Masha. I hope we just go right into it this time, and I might be in the minority here, but I wouldn't be mad if they hot potatoed the title between them, because that's because I think these two are phenomenal. Also, it gives to me Jordan Grace some time off to go do something else if she wants to, but I don't think it'd be a one and done situation. I can see that being a three, you know, your standard rubber match situation. I could even see it going four times where it ends up in like a monster's ball or something where it's like definitive. Because I think honestly too, Jordan deserves to take some time off. She has been killing it since she's been champion. TNA, NXT, Royal Rumble, she's been doing it all. So I think as much as I call for some people to take breaks, I definitely was like, Roman, you need to take a break. Bianca, you need to take a break. Alexander, you need to take a break. I think Grace is prime for a vacation. Go to Disney World, honey. You know, like, I think she's done so much that she deserves to take a break after this program with Masha, if that's what she wants to do. I'm not telling her how to live her life.
But you should.
Not you tell her. She's not going to pick me up and put me down or rip me like a phone book. No, thanks.
Send a DM, just get the answers. Jordan Grace's contract is set to expire at the end of this year. The hot potato thing's an idea. I wouldn't mind doing the Masha Slamovich win, and then they just have one more blow off. Jordan, honestly, this is basically just the way Trinity left. Like, Trinity was the same way. She dropped the title, and then she went and did a couple of matches on her way out, going back to WWE. You can easily just do the same thing with Jordan. A big thank you party. Deonna Purrazzo, same thing. You know, she on her way out had a couple of matches, and then at Final Resolution 2023, she teams up with Giselle Shaw. They have a moment. Giselle Shaw turns on her, effectively writes her off of TV, and we're done. Right, Deonna's gone from TNA, so it could be as easy as that. But we'll see what they do. I expect Masha to win a Bound for Glory, and I expect Jordan to then say, I want my rematch. And they can do it in Winston-Salem. They can do it at Final Resolution, or at Turning Point, and then move on from there.
And this is just me, personal bias journalism over here. I've always loved the idea that in TNA, at the upper echelon, at the top of the Knockouts division, there are two strong women, whether it was Gail and Awesome Kong, or Grace and Deanna, in recent time, Grace and Masha. I love the idea of two like super heavyweight women or just strong women. I would love before if Jordan, whatever Jordan decides to do, I support it because I'm a Jordan Grace stan. I love her. But if she leaves, I would love for us to move someone else into that spot. Cause I think that to me, this is just me personally, that is part of the charm of the Knockouts division. Not so much charm, but like it's, I don't know, it's a staple to me. You know, am I making sense? I sound crazy.
You do, but you do. You frequently sound crazy, but that's okay. People kind of come for that charm.
Hey, we'll take it. But yeah, like I wouldn't be mad at Masha being the flag bearer. But then for that to me, I'm like, can we push Savannah Evans? You have the people there. You know, Killer Kelly, congratulations. She's pregnant. I saw on the Instagram, go for you, girl. I don't know if she had the baby yet. But Killer Kelly's not there. But you've got these monsters in your back pocket that, let's say Grace does decide, hey, I'm not going to re-sign. I'm going to go do other things. Well, within all right. But I would hate for that empty other big spot to just leave. Because you had Masha and Grace, and Masha, to me, always waiting in the wings. Even if Deanna Purrazzo and Grace left back in the day, you still had like a Chelsea Green and Evans when she was more active, even Kong for a hot second. So I don't know. I hope she stays, but I can understand if she doesn't. I love Jordan Grace. She's fantastic and phenomenal.
And we love FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business.
$5? I'm sorry.
We were the ones who broke the Jordan Grace news. We're the ones who continue to break TNA news and MLW news and AEW news and WWE news. So you want your Wrestle Dream scoops for this weekend? That's on Saturday, but we'll have plenty of news. We had an MJF update today. He's been filming Happy Gilmore 2. That's wrapped up filming, and it was a little quicker than expected. So maybe we'll see MJF sooner than later. MVP and Chris Jericho, are they going to butt heads in AEW? Well, probably not, because over on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, we did make note that they have since made up and have been seen fraternizing backstage at AEW. Plenty of that and more. All the content. Sour Graps is there. Weekender with Steven Jensen, who will be with us for the Bound for Glory post show when that hits at the end of this month. And plenty more over on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business. Let's talk about the main event. Nick Nemeth and Joe Hendry defeat First Class. Joe Hendry gets blindsided by Casey Navarro during his entrance. The match happens. You get a Joe Jack from Joe Hendry on AJ Francis. That's what we call the knickknack now. And then Nick Nemeth hits a standing novation. And a famous and gets the win. Cute. And then they look at each other and make poo-poo faces. You stole my move, bro.
It was very much when he did it. Nemeth looked at him like, ah. And then we did the standing ovation. Joe Hendry was like, yeah, man. Standing, like you said, standing novation. It was a nice attempt, young man.
Standing novation. I hope Nick Nemeth hits a clothesline from hell during his match at Bound for Glory.
Not the clothesline from hell. That's insane.
Well, he's got to do the thing that JBL gets him to turn heel for.
I mean, if there's anyone you're going to turn heel against, it is Joe Hendry right now, who's a lightning rod. I mean, okay. This match itself was fine. Joe Hendry deadlifting AJ Francis. Again, hate him or love him. AJ Francis is a large. That man is Brody King size. I've seen him in real life. That is a large man. I haven't seen Joe Hendry in real life, but Joe Hendry is a large man, but not as large as AJ Francis. And he picked that man up from nothing, from the grease, from the dirt. Okay. Casey Navarro got beat up. Poor young man. I'm glad he getting this shot, but he got beat up so bad. They cut the ring off. But Joe Hendry finally got in. There was a spot where I think they were doing an Irish whip in the ring or whatever it is. Joe Hendry yeets this man up over his head. Navarro damn near falls out the damn ring. I'm like, damn, Joe Hedgie, why you yeeted that man like that? Wasn't mad at it. Wasn't mad at it. The famous sir on KC for the win, I suppose. I knew that was going to happen. Not mad at AJ Francis for always making sure that First Class gets some sort of, whether I'm losing, I'm still in the main event. You may not have liked what I said, but you cannot say I wasn't booked.
And that is TNA Impact for October 10th, 2024. Baby, we did it.
We did it, Reddit.
Cresta's back. What you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, every Wednesday you can find me over on Twitch or TikTok at Cresta Star. I am watching AEW with you. And if you follow me over on X, which is Cresta the Star, I tweet when I'm going live on various social media accounts so we can watch wrestling and wrestling adjacent things together, or we play some video games every Thursday and Saturdays. I am here. Every Thursdays and Saturdays, I am here at Fightful. I lost my train of thought because my brain is dumb and I short-circuited. Sorry. Every Thursday, Saturday, I'm here at Fightful for the TNA post-show with Joe Pearl and Saturdays for the Collision post-show with Iridian and Rick. Won't lie to you, I am not sure what we're doing this Saturday.
There's no Collision, so there is nothing you're doing.
See you in hell, y'all. Joe Pearl, what you got going on?
Wrestle Dream is Saturday night, so there will be no AEW Collision to speak of. There will be a Rampage, but that's already been taped, so you can go find out what over there. We don't spoil here, damn it. That's for the website. Chris and I are back on Thursday to talk about TNA. I am in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel. If you haven't yet, go subscribe to that. If you haven't yet on this video, go ahead and hit a thumbs up. Subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. For Cresta Star, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.